I'm sure all of you probably know him, but in case you don't, he's a brother that's been serving our class throughout the whole year. And we've been so fortunate for Brother David and Sister Carol coming down and being with us. I was telling some of the others we've had 3 mini-conventions already this year. So we're just thrilled about having them so close that they can be with us and come down and help us in our walk in this narrow way. Brother David Duran, who is from Louisville, Kentucky, has chosen as his topic, and it's a road map, Interstate 55. Interstate 55. Brother David.
I told Brother Jim I feel a little guilty about being up here because I feel like a part of their class. So, it's kind of like home. You are getting a handout, I think. And this is not really about Interstate 55, but sometimes titles help you remember things. And I want everybody to remember 5 and 5. And since, well, at least some of you live somewhere along Interstate 55, I thought it was a good way to remember it. It runs from New Orleans up to Chicago. My subtitle is, You Too Can Find Your Way Through Revelation. The only time you need a road map, of course, is first time you're on the road. After that, it's kind of familiar territory. But it's helpful to know where you're going before you go. We have an old friend on the wall, the Charlie Ages. And if somebody told you once upon a time that you could put the whole Bible on one page, you probably wouldn't have believed it. But it was very effectively done in the Chart of the Ages. Now, I can't quite do that with Revelation, but what I would like to do is try to be simple and try to be encouraging about looking into this book. Revelation is, of course, prophecy. And prophecy, as it states, or Revelation, as it states right in the first verse of the book, is to show his servants what must shortly come to pass. Now, I reckon you want to know what's about to come to pass, don't you? Anybody in the room doesn't want to know what's about to come to pass? That's why that book was given to us. And unfortunately, along with that, was given us a great spirit of fear. Most of us, you know, first time we look in there, we open that and there's 10 horns, 7 heads. I'll start somewhere else. And I understand why that's frightening. I was afraid of it myself. But I've come to appreciate it, and I would like to help you not be afraid of it. It is the prophecy book that was given to the church. I know there's a whole Old Testament there. And I used to think, until not very long ago, that to really understand Revelation, you had to understand the Old Testament, and it would explain Revelation. And then I realized that's backwards. Like the old poem goes, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. But Revelation was given to the church to reveal the Old Testament. And once you understand what Revelation is doing, things like Ezekiel and Jeremiah and so on start opening up. They have more detail than Revelation does, but the detail is lost to us unless we understand the major picture. So the Lord gave us this, basically, one prophetic book in all the New Testament. And he said, here is what you need if you want to know things that are shortly going to come to pass. Another reason people don't like prophecy is because, without exception, you always disagree with everybody. But that's one of the strengths of prophecy. So we can learn to disagree without being disagreeable. It's a wonderful character straightener. If you study it and your neighbor studies it and your family studies it and you all talk about it and you have 13 different versions and you don't get upset, you have just really conquered something. And I think that's good. I think it's very good. It's given to stimulate the wise virgins. Don't get stuck. I would never tell anybody to leave the volumes, because I think they are the basis of the harvest message, and I think we ought to be in the volumes all the time, re-examining, absorbing, and everything else. But you got to go farther than that. You just can't get stuck and stop and be happy with repeating the same thing year after year after year without asking some new questions, without seeing some new insights. And that's why the other things are there. They're to keep us from becoming stuck. The theme hymn for this convention, by the way, 110, and those who were singing it the first day, "On I go, not knowing, I would not if I might," that's about our personal walk. That's not about scriptures. Do want to make that distinction. There is a difference. The Lord wants us. He gave us these books to let us know what's coming, not in our individual walks. Okay, well, let's see here. Revelation is an extremely orderly book, and I am more and more impressed by that. What I'm going to give you may not fit the view some of you have of it, in which case you can throw it out. Like I said, I said, don't bother me. Tell me why it's wrong, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you what I think is a nice roadmap to start with, and hopefully it will be helpful. I'm going to ignore the last three chapters of Revelation, 20, 21, and 22. Because they don't fit the I-55 picture. In essence, everything up to that point can be summarized by saying there are five views and five more views. That sounds ultimately simple, doesn't it? But I think it is that ultimately simple. If we look there at our chart of the ages, the first five views are that gospel age, basically taking in the harvest at the end of the Jewish age and taking in the harvest at the end of the gospel age. That's how Revelation starts, five times through that. Then it goes five times through the harvest. And then you only have three chapters left. That sounds easy, doesn't it? It's not. But the concept is easy. In my own mind, one thing that helps is the Lord consistently doubles back to the beginning in each picture. Every time in the first five, every time in the second, he always doubles back and starts at the beginning again. So you never have to say, where am I? Thus we have five complete views of the age, five complete views of the harvest, each time. And there is a reason for each of these perspectives, and understanding these reasons will help us understand the symbolism. So that's the objective today. We'd like to go through an outline in general terms and maybe a few of the highlights in the second section. You have a handout, and it's clearly divided into two parts, section 1 and 2, five times through the entire gospel age, five times through the harvest period. Let's briefly go through how this is laid out. The first thing we find in Revelation is the seven stages of the church, because since Jesus' day, the church has been developed in seven periods of time. Basically, what this message is Jesus' personal message to those who would be the angels, the messengers, to each stage of the church. Because these people had to admonish the church and tell them about the conditions and needs, the experiences, and everything they would need in overcoming. So that's the reason for the seven churches. Jesus telling the angels what they should tell us. The next step is seven seals, chapters 4 through the first verse of 8. All of these, of course, are history laid out in advance. But the particular kind of history in the seven seals is the effects that history is going to have on the consecrated. God wrote this scroll, and he put seals on it, and he knew what changes were going to come in history and what catalysts were going to start these changes. Now, this is not like a scroll that you roll up and put seven seals along the edge. This is kind of a different way of sealing things. This is a scroll with one seal here, and as you open it, there's another one, and as you open it, there's another one. So you can only open one at a time, and you see what's going to happen next. But I think the perspective of the seals is interesting, and this is a theory, but I think it fits pretty well. It's looking back at the period after it's finished. Don't we all do that? You experience something, and then you look back and say, oh, that's just what I've gone through. I now understand what I've gone through. And I think that's what the seven seals do. It summarizes the history of the period you have just gone through. And that is demonstrated by the fact that when you read about these seals, in most cases, it talks about things at the end of the period once you establish when the period is. All right. The third thing, the seven trumpets, chapter 8, 2 through 11, 19. Those angels that talk to the seven churches are again pictured as having trumpets that they're blowing on. Proclamations.